He is not Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. And this is Car Keys.
Yes, good morning. Beautiful day out there. Robin is missing in action.
Okay.
Actually, he left me a message last night saying he could not make it today. And that's fine.
Because before you even start, I have to tell you that I was accidentally watching virtual racing yesterday and enjoying it. Me! And I never watch. You know, we know I watch a different kind of racing with a different kind of horsepower. But... you know, I just don't usually watch my, and it was the, I have to say, it seemed quite enthusiastic. I was, my whole point is that I got engaged in something that in a million years I wouldn't have sought out on my own. I'm sorry to confess.
Well, sim racing has become popular overnight because of this whole pandemic and the fact that real races have been canceled or postponed, the quality, the physics of the quote unquote games, the software used in sim racing, have greatly improved. I have race car driver friends who a few years ago could not be caught driving a sim, and telling me how unrealistic it was, and. You know, every year that goes by, the modeling, the physics get better and better. The graphics get better. If you're looking at some of these races on TV, you might not realize right away that you're actually looking at virtual cars, at a video game, quote unquote.
Yeah. No, there is something to be said for. I'm just going to use this word probably inappropriate. There was some energy around it that I was intrigued by. Let's just say that.
Yeah, it's also, you know, the main difference between the virtual world and the real world, I guess, is the lack of real consequences. Although that can be debated once you go mainstream and you're in the public eye. But obviously, if you're driving a car on the real track or on a real road, the consequences of making a bad judgment are, can be a lot more dramatic or traumatic than in a virtual world where you hit a reset button and keep going.
Yeah, that is the one problem. But I constantly complain about it as. I'm interested because as we come out of the pandemic.
The pandemic. Yeah, I was going to talk about this. Go ahead.
And move into, move away from virtual. It's going to be, I think, quite interesting because, again, it's a completely different energy, as I described it to somebody, and I hope this doesn't oversimplify. It is the difference of looking at a work of art, you're just a painting, anything, in a gallery or museum or on your screen. It's just, you get a different, it's a whole different thing. That's all I can say.
Yeah, and the good news is, as we get into this next phase of reopenings, you know, across the state and across the country, we see people getting back in cars and hitting the highways. And I was going to start this show by mentioning I just heard a blurb yesterday or the day before that RV sales and rentals are going through the roof. We're talking about one source had a RV sales up by 1,000%, and another source was mentioning RV rentals up by 650%. And memories came back to me. a few years ago, I was lucky enough. I was working for someone who had me traveling the country in a 40-foot Class A RV, and it was a great experience.
Well, I think, and again, this is completely anecdotal and an opinion, but as people, one of the other things that is more than likely to come out of this, said from someone who did not spend this unprecedented, difficult, pick a word, any word, time in the city, in Elmhurst, or on the Upper East Side or Upper West Side, but rather in the country, I think that there is going to be a real hunger for when you start getting out. You're going to want to go in your own vehicle, and it's going to be deja vu all over again. I remember being, you know, I remember the day my dad came home with a camper and said, we're driving across country.
Yeah, and you know, for a lot of people, it's a dream, and a lot of times it never comes true. When I was a kid, my dad always said, yeah, we're going to travel the country, you know, in a camper, and it never happened. And again, to that effect, I heard something else or read something, you know, again, since I started looking about this whole RV thing, you know, there's a number of statistics saying that 46 million Americans plan on traveling the country in an RV in the next 12 months. And, you know, as much as I think that, you know, we can see people wanting to do this, I don't think 40 million people are all of a sudden going to jump into RVs in the next month, in the next year or so. But it's great, and I can only encourage people to do it. It's a great way to travel. I've enjoyed every minute that I spend on the roads in an RV.
I am not surprised by this this through the roofage at all.
No, neither am I. And you know, over the last couple of weekends, as the weather also has gotten better, we've seen motorcycles go out in every weekend. We've seen you start seeing a lot of convertibles out there. and to that effect, I thought, you know, years ago I had a little Mazda Miata that I still have, but it's tucked in the back of my garage and needs work. But, you know, a little convertible summer car is a fun thing to have, and it's a great way to, you know, travel locally and you can do so without spending crazy amounts of money. You know, quick search on Auto Trader will give you what was the number I came with? 100 cars are 100 convertibles are for sale in a 100-mile radius of our tri-state area here that are priced at less than $10,000. So there are cars out there. You can buy a early 2000 Mercedes SL for $7,000 to $10,000, and those are beautiful cars. Those were $100,000 cars, you know, 15 years ago, and they're still now they're $150,000 cars. And you can buy one in good shape with 70,000-80,000 miles for $10,000, and it, you know, it's a great way to cruise the countryside on weekends.
Exactly,
in my opinion.
Right, and there are still people. Remember, we did a show not so long ago about, well, there's a whole generation who doesn't want to drive. But I wonder now that they have some of them have spent time with their family outside of urban areas, whether there is going to be some sort of return to that as a form of independence.
My gut feeling is yes, right? I mean, people have been living with each other, working with each other. You see families where parents are, you know, streaming live and working in one room, and the kids are quote unquote in school in another room, and all they've seen for the last few months is each other. You would think that the kids, as much as the parents, want to get out of Dodge and you know. The car has been for a long time the vehicle of choice for, you know, independent whereabouts.
Here once more anecdotal, but I was speaking to a banker who is working from home, and his youngest son had just turned 16, and he was screaming, "Hey, now you can go get your license. You can take your driving test."
Yep.
And
to that effect, I want to talk about this too. This was on my list of things I wanted to talk about today. You know, every month of June, you know, schools, as the school years come to an end, more and more, you know, teens, first-time drivers get on the roads. And I was looking at the whole teen safety subject, and you know, the data is there. More 16 to 21 year olds or 16 to 20 year olds die on the roads than in any other age group. And I forget what the statistic is, but they are a major number in the overall fatalities. And you know, the reason for that is, or the reasons for that are some of them are pretty obvious. Obviously, these kids, young drivers, don't have any or very little experience behind the wheel. And all of a sudden, they're on the road, and they make bad decisions. And I was a young driver, too, a long time ago, obviously. And I remember as a kid, the hardest part I dealt with was estimating the speed of other vehicles on the road. And, you know, when was it safe to make a pass? Because, yes, you know, I shouldn't say this, but I was always a relatively fast driver, so I usually wanted to get past the cars in front of me. And, you know, that's one of the things. Passing safely is something that you have to learn how, you know, and it's not an easy thing to get good at.
No, the only way to get good at it is to practice. And the only way to practice is to have the patience to practice. And the two things are not in summer when you're, you know, when you're footloose and fancy free, it's not the easiest to be patient. But it's just still worth, especially for people who have, who aren't usually up here and who haven't spent this time in lockdown around here, it's really worth understanding that you want to be extra careful.
Yeah, the other fact, you know, when you look at teen driving accidents, that, you know, obviously there are factors like distraction, you know, cell phones. We can go over this over and over and over again. It's certainly a contributing factor. Speeding is a factor. Alcohol is a factor. And we all know that teenagers shouldn't be drinking in the first place. So obviously they should definitely, it is totally illegal to be drinking and driving. It's illegal for anybody. But, you know, it's a combination of factors that, you know, a combination of circumstances that put these teens in cars at the wrong time of day, so usually at night, with passengers. And now you have alcohol, you have speeding, you have the lack of seatbelt use, which obviously you only need a seatbelt when you actually do get in a crash. But, you know, if you are going to get in a crash, your chances of survival are greatly increased if you wear a seatbelt. And there's a statistic that shows that, you know, over 50% of teenagers riding in a car with somebody do not wear seatbelts. And, you know, that is something that you know, older drivers, parents, can actually be a lot more strict about. And it's not a question of being strict. It's a question of, you know, education and leading by example and making sure, as your kids grow up, before they get out in the car by themselves, you know, wear your seatbelt. It is mind-boggling that, you know, 30, 40 years, 40 years that we've had seatbelts in cars. You know, a great number of people are still not wearing their seatbelts. It is just mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, it's one of those things that definitely needs reinforcement. And one of the drawbacks, of course, of not having been in class for, you know, an actual school, is that, you know, the various safety programs, you know, that kids get to take during the course of the year, especially,
right,
as they're doing their driver's ed, you know, are not, are they, you know, sure, you have access to it virtually, but it's not nearly the same thing as.
Of course, no, of course not. And you know, there's nothing like practice. And yes, all of you know, most of these programs have a component where you get to practice in a safe environment. Things that challenge the physics and the limits of what a car can do, braking techniques, evasion maneuvers, you know, going on a skid pad. Those are things you cannot really practice, you know, on the streets. And, you know, once upon a time we used to say, well, go find a big parking lot, you know, and just do it. But, you know, you can't do that either, because you start doing maneuvers in the parking lot and somebody's going to come and knock on your window, and but yes, you can educate yourself in I think a lot of what's involved in street driving is just an awareness of what you should be monitoring. And I always, you know, I say this over and over and over again: situational awareness, being focused on the task at hand, you know, no distractions. I find myself, for instance, if I'm driving and I'm listening to the radio and traffic conditions get difficult, traffic conditions are difficult, whether I'm driving fast, whether, you know, are there traffic jams, I'm on the highway, I will turn down or turn off the radio. It just bugs me to have that
that,
you know,
noise when you have to focus. I understand. Right. But these are skills, again, not knocking youngins, just saying,
no.
These are skills that you develop over time. These are skills that you get from observing people driving around, etc. And
right.
So
and that brings me to my next point is, you know, you as a parent or you know somebody, you know, driving young adults who were before that kids, you know, you want to lead by example, and you. So you should be doing all the right things. And that brings me to the next point is, I'm always, you know, I've been an advocate for recurrent training, and you know, we have that in a lot of things we do in life, where we have to go back to school, we have to take a course to stay current in whatever it is we do. Driving, you get your license when you're 16 until you turn, you know, 95 or whenever you start having medical concerns. You never need to update your license. And I think a big part of the problem of traffic safety is that, you know, we try to be responsible as drivers, but we, like anything else we do, we, in all the habits we develop bad habits, and we all do. And then until somebody reminds us of that, we just keep doing it. And if we're, you know, doing it and kids are in the car watching us practice these bad maneuvers or making bad decisions, it just sets a bad example. What is the solution? I don't know. I just took, you know, there's a lot of update, you know, courses to, you could have an online update course, for instance. You know, just a reminder of things you should be doing when you're behind the wheel.
Yeah, and what are they doing with kids who would otherwise be doing driver's ed? Do you know what's happening?
No. Short answer, no. I should find out. I don't have an immediate...
You have to make it up. It's just a thought, because I suspect that was one of the other things that got put on hold. And I would think that there would be a rush for that at this point, but I'm not...
Yeah, and I actually, I was going to say I was going to use the quote, you know, I'll get back to you on that.
You can do that.
I'm going to be checking DMV sites before the show next week because, you know, for instance, we had, you know, emissions were not required anymore. You did not have to go and pass emissions. And at some point, things
I believe
like
that. There was an extension, but I don't. And it's fairly lengthy. I think it was something the original X days was extended by another few months, so it's so that people can clear up the backlog. But obviously, you can't get driver's ed without a permit, and you can't get a permit if you don't go to the DMV. Blah 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 blah. So
yeah, but you know, yeah. On a bright note, people are driving again. Car sales are back up. They're obviously not to the level of where they were before the start of the pandemic, but car sales in Europe are up, I think, a little more than they are here. But again, the pandemic was, you know, the cycle started a little earlier than it did here. So we're hoping that the car industry is getting back on its feet. Dealers have seen more traffic. Interestingly, car sale used car sales are up a lot more than new car sales. And there are a lot of used cars out there. So it's going to take a while for the industry to get back to the levels it was before. Fleet sales are still very flat. You know, car rental companies are not buying new cars. We all know that Hertz filed for bankruptcy protection, so who knows where that's going to lead. And fleet sales are a big purport, a big number of overall sales. So retail sales and truck sales are still very strong and remain strong. Truck sales remain strong, you know, all through the pandemic.
Mostly because essential workers, what I call essential, in a lot of places, construction was allowed to continue. The reasons for having trucks were, agriculture, a lot of that continued. And, you know, so when you move out into the less vanity, more just functional, you're going to have trucks.
Yeah, yeah. So on the note, maybe, and we're going backwards relative to what we usually do in the show, but I wanted to talk about brands a little bit and new models. BMW is coming out now with a new 4 Series. The 4 Series is the coupe version of the 3 Series, which is their... The 3 Series is the smallest sedan in the BMW lineup. And as the 3 Series grew over the years, BMW came out with a 2 Series quite a few years ago. They had the 1 Series, and that became the 2 Series. But those cars have been two doors only and, you know, convertible or coupe versions of the car only. And so the 3 and 4 Series are actually a little bigger cars now. And arguably, they've kind of lost their way relative to what BMW was supposed to mean. Well, for us car fans and... you know, it was a driver's car. If you look at the original BMW 2002, which was a car I wanted when I was growing up, when I was a kid, you know, the 2002 evolved into the 320 and then the 323, and then we had BMW M3s. The new 4 Series is a very good-looking car, except for the front grille. I cannot get over that new double, you know, the kidney grille of the BMW is just like...
You don't like it. You know, it's one of those.
I don't like it. I'll probably get used to it. Although I think these grills are all totally, you know, they're oversized, and you know, it's like everything else in life. You know, when you try to, overemphasize your attributes, or you know, you just start making a fool of yourself. And I think these grills are just have just become obnoxious, and that's been true for a while.
All right, you've got 11 seconds.
Well, I look forward to driving a little bit more. I hadn't much the last few months, but I will be back on the road.
He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.